When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them,
they just aren't talented enough for radio.
Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days.
Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on Twitter, X Spaces for the final segment of each show. Syracuse ends their five-game losing streak from the past 5 weeks, and they also end a five-game losing streak from the past 5 years against Pitt. We talked a lot about the game 100 years ago, and Coach mentioned it, but it was in my head before I heard Coach mention it in his presser, but it's kind of what it looked like. Just an old-style football, minus the Wildcat. So anyways, 382 yards on the ground and only 17 through the air, but it got it done. You'll hear from us and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. We will hear from Coach here in a second. And just not for anything, really nice to get back in the win column. Huge for me personally to get this Pitt win. You know, Syracuse has only beat Pitt three times since 2005, and we play each other every year, right? And I think we've been playing each other every year going back all the way to like 1955 or something like that, if I remember right. Yeah, it was 1930, and then 15 years later, the rivalry was created once again in 1955, and you know, by the way, that was really after the game that was talked about quite a bit coming into this game in the Bronx. That game was in 1923, obviously, 100th anniversary of that 3-0 game, as we've heard 100 times. But, you know, Pitt's had our number. They've really had our number. I'm sorry. They've really had our number since 2002.
Early 2000s, right?
2002. Syracuse went on like an 10-11 game streak at one point, and then since 2002, we've only beat them three times. So it's a fun team to hate. It's definitely a fun rivalry, something I don't want to let go of personally.
regardless of the football landscape in the future. And, you know, we're locked in the 7 games with them right now, and we'll see what happens after that. But to me, it's something that if it ends, it would be, I mean, it'd be tragic, I feel like, for just for me personally. I don't know how everybody else feels about it. I remember we talked a lot about in basketball about how everybody was trying to create a rivalry between Syracuse and Duke. And, you know, I just always felt that Pitt and Boston College, like the old Big East stuff, was just something that never died. And it just was rekindled going back into the ACC. But, you know, Syracuse and Pitt never skipped a beat. So,
right.
Something I hope continues. And, you know, maybe we can start a streak of our own.
Yeah. Easy team to hate. Not really a Narduzzi fan either. So pulled out all the stops to get that one. And I'm glad we got it against them. So good win. Had friends at the game, so they got to go to Yankee Stadium and watch a W. So
and cool to be there. I would have loved to been able to go to a game like that, especially the 100th anniversary. And, you know, but not like I mentioned in the preview, just, you know, not a lot of excitement around it. Seemed pretty seemed pretty milquetoast in there and very bare. And when we were looking at tickets, my suspicion was correct that they weren't even selling third and fourth tier seats, which I don't know if I would really expect them to, you know, to fill that up with that kind of game with, you know, a 4-5 team and a 2-7 team coming into a game, you know, it's just not that. It's the it's not there. So, anyways, all right, let's take a listen to see what Coach had to say following the win.
First of all, I want to give the glory to the man upstairs. It was an outstanding performance by the football team. We asked them to do something that was drastic and extremely different. And you can't pull that off without belief. And they put belief in the scheme, and it wasn't all total belief in the beginning. But I told them a story because I moved a lot as a child. I said, when the family is moving in a certain direction and you want to change, you're changing locations, you're changing jobs, there comes a point where the kids crying about their old friends and they don't want to leave. And you're like, get in the car. We're going to go and we're going to leave because we're a family, and that's what we do. We stay together and we don't leave anybody behind. I think they made a movie about it. But they all got on board and we moved in the same direction. And even though we were behind at halftime, there wasn't a doubt in anyone's eye. They still believed.
When in the course of this week did you realize that that was going to have to be the game plan? Like, when was Garrett kind of ruled limited for the week?
You know, it was not, the plan was not based off of Garrett's availability. The plan was based off of, we want to be more physical. We've played the game. There's a lot of ways to win a football game. There's a lot of ways to lose a football game. And we've played the game through the air. But I just felt like we wanted to get physical. We wanted to go old school. We wanted to go back 100 years to a 3-0 win. Syracuse versus Pitt in the first game in Yankee Stadium, and see if we could stir up the ghosts. When you look inside Garrett Schrader's chest and you pull out his heart, and you look at Dan Vellari and you pull out his heart, and then you look at LaQuint Allen and you pull out his heart, and you get those three hearts and you put them together, you have a hell of a beat. And I just feel like that those guys, the way they play the game and the way they inspire others, the way they play the game, if you just give it to them enough, even if you're denied an opportunity to win, if you're going to go down, that's the way you want to go down, because you just feel those are the type of people that you want to rally behind.
Coach, did you expect Dan Vellari to have as many quarterback snaps as he did coming into this game?
Yes.
Coach, 11 months ago, LaQuint made his first start for Syracuse here on this field. Since then, how has he evolved both on and off the field?
Well, you know, all the adversity off the field, you know all about that. And the way it was handled, And I thought that he handled that in a very mature manner for his age. And I thought that his growth during that period, and then I'm going to use a word that a lot of young people, I'm not quite sure they learned the definition of until way, way down the road, but how patient he was with the system and faith that he had that things would turn out right, that adversity off the football field sharpens a young man, and it changes him. You know, it changes him into something else. And I think he's changed into something. He was good before, but I think he's changed into something that's really dynamite now. Dan came here as a quarterback, and we looked at him, we evaluated him, and we thought we had some guys that could do some other things, and asked him to do something that a lot of quarterbacks don't do, is change a position. And I still believe, oh, I love when I say that, I still believe, I'm saying that humbly, that he's going to be an NFL tight end. I really believe he has the ability to do all that. So he believed us. He made the move. But, again, he got hurt, and we didn't have an opportunity. He did not practice in the spring. He did not practice in the summer. He did not practice in August. I mean, we didn't get him until September, and at the time we had OG. So we thought he was good. I believed he was good. I had faith that he was good, but he hadn't done it on the field. So this has been a slow growth. But it's not surprising us. It's just that we had to wait until we saw it on the field, because you just can't make that move on a football team unless the other family members, the other brothers, see what we always thought we had. And now everybody's on board.
All right. So, you know, a pretty spectacular team effort, I think. I mean, I know I was – first of all, I was extremely surprised. Now, look, I'm going to preface all this with, this is Pitt. Okay? So we have to do that. I'm sorry, we have to do that. I'm not trying to take anything from anybody, but you have to do that. The offensive line was tremendous. There was points when Chris Blige couldn't even hold himself up. I don't know what he's going through or what's going on, but or if he was out of breath. But he was being held up. You know, the way that the game planning, to do this in a week with Garrett Schrader not taking, all the days of practice, getting them under his belt. You know, you look back at it and you're like, well, shit, you know, what sucks is that, seems to me this would have worked against Boston College last week. And
seems that way.
you think back, and you're like, in hindsight, you do that, and we're bowl eligible, and we still got two games left with one extremely winnable game, and you know, you could be stumbling into 7-5 at the end of the year, and it is what it is. But Georgia Tech, the big question mark. I feel like this is going to be how we see this football team, I think, the rest of the season. Like I said, you know, the offensive line, huge props to them. We did run into some issues, and those things can be cleaned up. There was I think Valari had two fumbles. Garrett Schrader had a fumble. I think only one of those was lost. I think it was Schrader's, yep. If I remember right.
No, Valari's, I believe.
Was it Valari's? Are you sure about that? Because I thought it was the first one in the game. I thought that was Garrett Schrader's. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, it could have been.
It doesn't matter. Three fumbles is not great. And obviously, in a game plan and a scheme, the way that they pulled this thing out, I thought it was, you know, I wasn't going to say this, but I thought it was brilliant. I mean, I really did. Once I saw what they were doing, once it sunk in that was going to be it, I was like, man, this is, you know, it kind of slowed down at the end of the first half, and it took a little bit in the second half, and it picked back up. You know, the defense with Bellamy with the pick six. I mean, that was game right there. Yeah. We could have warmed the bus up then. But, you know, it's been 19 yards in the past three games caught by a wide receiver. And that was one wide receiver, an Amari Hatcher. And you just, if I was to tell you the passing stats, you would never believe that they'd have pulled this game off, obviously. And along with last week, like I said, I felt like, I feel like we had, if we could have done this, we would have had a shot. And, you know, when coach says we didn't game plan this because of Schrader's availability, I mean, don't, everything's good, coach. Everything was great. Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining though. Because obviously this dude can't throw the ball right now. It's obviously going through something.
Yeah.
And that pass to Maximilian Meng in the...
Almost did not make it there.
He had to dive forward for that. Okay. It was 15 yards or something, and he was wide something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't just don't piss on me. Tell me it's raining. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We all know. Everybody knows. I mean, it's all right. It worked out. It could work again. It could work for the next two games. We don't know.
Right.
But I see this working at least against Wake Forest and getting Syracuse to a bowl game. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and me as well. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's kind of telling, right? I mean, you can see what our defense can do when we're not on the field the whole game. Right. Again, it's Pitt, right? And people are going to say that, oh, it's Pitt, calm down. All we can do is talk about the team that was just put in front of us and who we have to play. And I can go back to Pitt's, you know, season. And I mean, some of the teams that they've beaten, stay competitive with, you know, are pretty good teams.
Well, Pitt's beat up. They're much in the same boat as us.
They're very beat up. Exactly. So, but again, it just goes back to, you know, everyone talking about how, you know, Dino's got to go. I don't know if people have actually alluded to, like, the players quitting or whatever. But, I mean, I think yesterday was a prime example of a team that does not quit on their coach. We talked about it before. We needed them to do something different. And I think they tried to do something with Carlos Del Rio Wilson. Didn't really work out that well. And, you know, knowing he was probably injured anyway. I mean, I wonder if he was 100% or if he could play, if this would have been the game plan. I wonder. But I do know that, you know, there's a lot of things that can come out of this. And who's to say that Garrett Schrader is just, maybe he barely threw. So maybe his arm will be better next week. Maybe we'll be able to get a little bit more trick plays off of that. I mean, we saw Dan Villari throw that pass to a wide open LaQuinn Allen, but he missed him. Now, the fact that we only threw eight times and one of them was for a touchdown and it was between three different people.
Garrett threw two balls.
Yep. And the thing is, like I said, it's a situation where it still worked. Everything still worked. Vlari was out there looking like Tim Tebow. You know, LaQuinn Allen was out there playing great. And, you know, Garrett Schrader being out there, he almost had 100. We almost had three 100-yard rushers. And to have Garrett out there to be, you know, a receiver and to be, you know, some type of, I mean, God, you remember the backflip?
He did for no reason.
I mean, but he's a decoy. People don't know what he can do, what he can't do. But, you know, we know he can run the ball. We know that probably something with his arm, he can't throw the ball that great right now. But nobody else on the other team knows how great he can throw. And when he was with Mississippi State, they moved him to receiver for a year, which I know he didn't like it. But, I mean, in this case, this year, with his senior year, I mean, going out there, he can do a couple of different things. So, obviously, your most dangerous offensive weapons are LaQuinn Allen, Dan Villari, and Garrett Schrader. I can't put a receiver in that mix until we get a quarterback that can get them the ball. But they used all three of those guys real, real smart yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it could have went much better as far as all that goes. I wish we could have had the three 100-yard rushers, Garrett with a drop pass. But I don't know if he was in bounds, but he should have had that one. It would have been great had he been able to catch that and finish it off. But it is what it is.
He was still the leading receiver. One catch for 6 yards.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid. It's dumb, dude. It's dumb.
It is dumb, but when you look at the stats, I mean, they dominated. They dominated that game, especially in the line. Like you said, that's where I was most impressed. I was most impressed, and I'm watching our offensive line and us just continue and, you know, have drives. You know, 21 first downs to their 11 and keep that clock going. Time of possession we had at 37 and a half minutes. I know there's a lot of comments that I saw on Facebook about basically playing like a service academy team, but hey, they got to, I mean, if you have a strength, or if you have something that you can use for that against another team, I mean, make him stop it.
You know what you
make him stop it, and they couldn't stop it.
You know what you're getting with what you used to get with Wake Forest, and you know what you used to get with Georgia Tech. It's been a few years, right, for Georgia Tech to be doing that stuff. But the service academy is a great point. You know, I think Coach said something about it, something in regards to that in his presser. But the those teams have success, and you know what you're going to get with them. It's a lot of it's execution, and you know, you think about Dan Villari and you're like, well, geez, you know, not only why didn't we try this game plan when things started to kind of unravel, but why weren't we using him in this aspect anyway?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
to put him in. At this point, he could be more comfortable throwing and having plays off of that too, right?
He could have been, but he could have, who knows, if you really want to think about it, he could have been second string already. Like, he could have started against Boston College. Even if Schrader didn't play, they could have done this between him and LaQuint Allen and you know, who knows what else. But I just feel like, I'm not going to sit here and dwell on it because it's whatever, and we don't know what the hell would have happened anyway. But I just feel like, man, what a missed opportunity knowing what we know now, what we could have done against Boston College.
Yeah.
Some of that takes
losing five games in a row, correct? I mean, a lot of times, you know, you come in as a coach and you're like, all right, this is our strengths. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to run an offense. And then that's what it is. You know, a lot of times you got the ego of coaches that are like, I don't want to feel like I have to do something gimmicky to win. Right. Like, I want to be able to line up the way that I want to run my offense, and then them end up winning. But I mean, this is a prime example of setting egos aside and saying, where are our strengths and what do we need to do to just win the game? And that's exactly what they did. You know, we spoke about that, I think, prior to Boston College, and we saw a little bit of a better effort, but they didn't go this far. And now they went this far. Like he said it, the coach said it was a drastic, drastic change that they asked him to do.
You heard Coach talking about looking at all these guys' hearts and putting them together and having a hell of a beat. I love that line, by the way. I thought it was great. And I don't know if he thought of that before he got there or not, but
it's true too.
I know. That's why we're going to talk about it. I'm going to couple this with, obviously we know who Garrett Schrader is and we know what kind of heart he has. You know, we know who LaQuint Allen is and we know what kind of heart he has, but we were also reminded about how LaQuint's offseason went, how mature he was in handling it. And we saw that without seeing it, right? So you knew that he did because there was no drama surrounding it. And we knew we all saw the outcome, right? The patience of him and his loyalty to stick at Syracuse, go through all that and kind of have like a walk of shame moment and still be here and the way he handled that. So we know his heart. You know, you got to see Dan Villari and what he could do and what he's about a little bit. So he's coming up there and you think to yourself, man, these three guys, I mean, this like, that's a powerful trio right there between those three. And, you know, when you've got a determined bunch like that, Dan Villari not given a role to accentuate his leadership until yesterday. And I guess it really still needs to be seen whether what kind of leader he can be. But we kind of already knew that with LaQuint and Garrett. And, you know, to have three guys like that be able to execute like that. And like you said, Garrett out there doing backflips, and he can apparently do backflips. He can throw a freaking hell of a block. Right. He just can't, he can fly. He just can't throw. He just can't throw. And I don't mean that like in a negative way. He literally cannot throw right now.
Right. But isn't that like a testament to like what type of player he is?
It's what type of person he is.
A leader.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And what he can bring to the table. The fact that he's a quarterback, he can't barely throw it 10 yards. But he's
out there.
Considered somebody that has to be out there, whether it's a decoy, always keeping somebody, you know, humble and making them watch him. I mean, yeah,
he wasn't selfishly irritated by not being under center. You know, nope. He was out there having fun.
He was doing what he needed to do.
Right. And so, you know, it takes sacrifice and being really humble for someone who's been in the spotlight all year to share that spotlight and do it because, you know, it's that's what we have to do to win, and the bet gives us the best opportunity to win. And so it just says a lot about him.
And that says a lot about the culture of the team also, and the fact of that the fact that they're not quitting on the coach.
Right.
I mean, Vilari was taking those hits and Schrader was over there helping him up every time. Schrader was there when he scored a touchdown to, you know, congratulate him. He didn't care. So
no,
those guys
care.
Were going at it, and it was physical. It was a physical ass game. LaQuinn Allen getting freaking eye raked the first.
Yeah, by the way, that's effing dirty, man. Like
dirty as shit. That kid gets suspended after.
We all saw what happened. There's video of it. Number 30 and whatever the hell his name is, he needs to pay some kind of penalty for that. That's just dirty. And he just did it because he got his block knocked off. Was it Schrader? Did Schrader lay the block into him, or was it what happened?
I don't know exactly who did it.
Something happened before that. He was already butthurt about something.
And again, going back to the culture and the type of players that these are. Did you see LaQuinn Allen's response? Like he went out to the sideline. They put a visor on so it couldn't happen again. And then he was out there chirping. He was out there talking to him and he backed it up with his play. He didn't do anything dirty. He didn't turn around. He didn't, you know, lower himself to their standards. You know, that says a lot about a kid that age, because it's very easy to get upset and want to go back and just cheap shot somebody. But he went out there and he was barking at him, and he ended up, you know, doing his talking with this 100-yard game.
Yeah, I think we should see some kind of something in regards to that too. That pretty much caps it for me. You know, you talk about, I've bagged on the have faith thing, and, you know, I think from a standpoint of what coach was saying is kind of different definition of what I was even meaning, but to your point about how these kids played, I think is a testament to them not just buying into what they're doing at this stage in the season, but like you said, into coach. And they played for coach. You know, Michigan didn't run a single pass play, I don't think, in the second half of their game against Penn State. You know, so I'm just saying it was an emotion for they played for their coach, right? I don't know if you watched any of that game, but it was an emotional win. And you know, you got to think that there's a little bit of that going on here because of the things we see on social media, the things you and I have said on here, you know, and we've number of times said we're not calling for anybody's job, right? Or it's
right.
Not our business to, but we've offered our suggestions, right? On certain things. But does this save Dino Babers? You know, he made a comment about it. It's no question that Dino knows he's on the hot seat. I don't think that's unreasonable to say. And it's not our decision to make, but at the end of the day, you know, you go ahead and you try to win out. Maybe, you know, they got a chance to win out. You go win out and get a bowl game. That's money. And obviously this school, really, they care about money. I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, it doesn't kind of matter what bowl game you get. It's going to be money for the school. And you know what? Whatever. We'll see what happens. Here's my concern. Jason Beck, you know, you got to hope that he stays, you know, and Rocky Long, you got to hope that he stays. And to enter next year without a bunch of changes is
pretty much
going to be something. And I mean, players too, you know, you want these players coming back, the ones that can, the ones that will, because
I mean, some of them,
yeah, you know, I just don't want to see what we saw at the end of last year. You know, they've got the collective up, the orangeunited.com or whatever it was.
Yeah, we have to retain our talent.
We got to retain our coaches. We got to have some kind of consistency to be able to build off of. And I do think that, in all seriousness, that's an issue. It's been just a coaching carousel for 7 years ish, 7-8 years. So anyway, all right, that's all I got, Joe. You good?
Sir.
All right, it's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, you know what to do at the end of every game. We ask for your thoughts on said game. You leave them on X and Facebook, and we'll talk about them here a little bit. So let's start with Twitter, and I went in there early just to kind of see, to get an idea, take the temperature, if you will, see what was going on in there. And I didn't see anything that I wasn't surprised by. Pretty good stuff. So let's start with this one. At Stretch Jones, where was that the last 5 games? Garrett Schrader has been hurt since Clemson. They just beat a 2-7 team and celebrate like they beat FU, beat FSU. Fine gets an extension, and we got tortured 5 more years. Fine gets an extension, and we get tortured 5 more years. Anywho.
If you're going to post something, at least see the autocorrect through, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
Probably Dino autocorrect.
Maybe? That would be a Dino autocorrect? I don't know. Anyways, it's not really, I mean, for me, you know, being excited isn't really a word I would use for the win.
Or maybe it's more like fine.
Maybe we're missing a comma there. Yeah. For me, it's not about celebrating a win more so as it is just some relief, not just for the fans and for having to come in here and talk about it, but the players. And it wasn't that, like, I was super excited about it, because I felt like knowing what I know now, I get it. I do. Knowing what we suspected, I get it. But just some relief, man. It's nice to get a win and start over. You know, you hear Dino Babers talk about, you know, we want to go 1-0. Well, we went 1-0. And let's see how many more times we can do it this year. Everything else is behind us. The losing streak is over, you know. But the Boo Birds are going to come back so quick. And next week's going to be the toughest out of the 2 games that we have left. And I just hope that they can surprise everybody with, I don't care how they do it, but with a win. And we can kind of start to put some of that behind us right now, going to Atlanta for that one. So that doesn't help.
No.
But anyway, at Charles Regalia, fun game, one more for a bowl. It was a fun game. That's a good way to put it. It was a fun game to watch, right? You know, what Dan Villari did, and, you know, we've seen glimpses. First of all, we've seen him run like that. We know he can. That dude's a workhorse with the football. And he is not easy to bring down. Could you imagine being a Pitt fan? Put yourself in their position. You know, we've done it. You know, we've been in that position, right? Yeah. You're just like, you know, he's getting the ball. Stop him.
You know exactly what he's doing.
Yes, you know he's going to run the ball. Stop him. And they can't.
Yep. Even in a refs in a penalties situation, too, because I thought that we got some good calls yesterday. Like, I feel like that one fumble was definitely after, like, the whistle. And like the board,
the stop.
You know what
the
I mean? So yeah, there was
it
like,
was, but they didn't I review that. Couple... They didn't review it for that, which is what I was confused. If I was a Pitt fan, I'd have been pissed, because it's not why they reviewed it. When he came back, he said he was not down, but the whistle did blow.
Right. And then, Narduzzi was all upset about a couple other play penalties they called. I would have been upset, too. So that's one game that I'm not going to complain about. Not going to complain about refs at all.
I mean, 1 out of 10 so far this year.
So, the only thing is eye gouging, but, you know.
Well, that's not the refs' fault that they didn't see that, but it is up to the NCAA to right that wrong.
Oh, absolutely. But Buddy Michael pretty much said the same thing you were just saying. Eye gouging, a backflip, Taysom Hill at quarterback, and passing to defense alignment at a baseball stadium.
That's pretty good.
I think Cirque du Soleil performers stole the Army football playbook and dressed up in Syracuse uniforms.
Hey, that's a great comment. I love that. Who was that?
Michael DeLello.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Facebook.
That's excellent. Jeff on Twitter, weird game, glad we won, but need an offensive design since the invention of the forward pass if we intend to get a sixth. We need an offense design since the invention of the forward pass to get the intended to get to six. Okay. I don't think we're going to see too much forward passing, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm okay with it, I think. It's kind of like a desperation thing, but it's also was effective. And I say they get a bowl game. I just wish that Wake Forest was before Georgia Tech, so we could get to the bowl game before we had to face Georgia Tech, because of my last point as far as the negativity coming back with a loss. You know, you beat Pitt. You should have beat Pitt.
Man. There's negativity with a win still.
There's negativity with decent wins before all of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what wears me down a tiny bit. I used to be able to avoid all that stuff. But, you know, through the past 5 weeks, it's been frustrating. And I don't take back anything I said because it was all the way I feel. And you got to come at me with something a little better than Pitt. I think beating Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech, no matter how they do it, would be... I mean, obviously, we all know it would be tremendous, but that would be a statement. It would be.
You know, oh, yeah.
There's not much more statements to make this year. So when we talk about winning games you shouldn't, that's the one that's left. And if we could do that, I will be extremely happy. You want to talk about an excited about a win, I'd be excited about that win.
That would be the one, yeah. And that's the thing, sadly, is that, like, you know, and Josh Black even said it on Twitter. He's like, you're all still mad because we lost, or because after a win, you're still mad. Like, and it's all because of the 5-game losing streak and because, you know, we didn't compete with some of the big boys and then lost a couple we shouldn't have. But, I mean, you got to put it in perspective, that's all. And there's a couple guys that are a little bit negative. You know, Nate, nice to see a win, but it doesn't erase the last 5 losses. Bobby, we don't have one guy to throw the ball. Sound off all the wide receiver transferring and decommitting. And Dave, he's back and forth. He says, I mean, while I think it's time for a change, I admire this team being creative and not quitting. A solid win. So there's somebody that still thinks that we should go move away from Dino, but still kind of gave the kids and the team a little bit of credit.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm sold on the... Through the conversations we've had, through the shows that we've done, I'm not sold on the Dino Babers thing, Dino having to leave thing. Although, like I said last show, if I think there needs to be a change, I still do think there needs to be a change. I absolutely do. Doesn't necessarily mean it's Dino Babers. But with that said, you know, if they do decide to go a different route, a head coach, I hope that if there is what we thought there was, then I hope that it's exploited. That's kind of my only hope. And that's just me being a spiteful bastard. And I can't help it. because you know how I feel about Severed in Wild Hack. And everybody can say, well, that's not Wild Hack either. It's Severed. Okay, well, whatever. They're the two that are pulling the strings. So.
Yeah. Yeah, some people are still sadly, you know, in the way the world works is that Dino is going to have to lose his job before I feel like that gets exposed, which
think about is, this though too. The injuries. Is that Dino's fault? I mean, think about it. Is it? I mean, maybe there's some fault there.
I mean, so this is the thing, right? Is that there's only those teams that, are, again, like we said, are have the money to retain their talent, have coaches, you know, big, big, good coaching staff, and they are getting top recruiting classes, top transfer. They're getting the best of the best. You know, those guys, they have the depth to withstand certain injuries. And just, it's sadly, you know, our school, we're just not set up like that. You know, it's been that way since I can remember, you know, really since Marone years. Because before that, I mean, it was the same thing. And even at the end of Pasqualoni's years, it was the same thing. So it was that we're talented and we could play with a lot of people and maybe upset some people, but we can't lose specific guys. Otherwise, we don't have the depth. And that's just what it is, you know. So, again, this is kind of a kudos to me on the coaching staff. You know, Mike from Facebook, it was so fun to watch after the recent train wreck. Love the creative offense. Hope they get another one or two. Zach Shea, our boy Zach, say what you want. I know
he's not a top fan, but Zach is Zach. He's an OG.
So he says, say what you want. I know Dino may not be the long-term answer. With that said, credit to him and his coaching staff for being creative enough for us to pull the W. These kids deserve a bowl game. So, I mean, that's what a coach, that's what a good coaching staff does, right? Once you hit to a certain point, you got to take what you have and you need to make it what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Dallas going to have a big day against Giants. I need him to. I need CeeDee Lamb to go off,
stop,
bro.
Stop. Of course they're going to have.
I need CeeDee Lamb to just have a monumental day today.
Oh, don't worry about it, buddy. Tommy DeVito's the quarterback.
So. MF Brightside, honestly, an impressive offensive game plan without being able to throw downfield. If SU can win one more, it'll be a challenge to it will be challenging to not bring back Babers after two straight bowl appearances. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time? When was the last time? Coach mentioned it.
Pasqualoni.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Coach mentioned it in his presser. So.
Yeah. It's the same coach. We've been to a bowl game two
No,
years
no, no. That's
row.
What I'm talking about. With the same coach.
Right.
That's Pasqualoni.
The same coach. Yeah.
Been that
it's
long.
Been since, it's been that long. Wow. So, yeah. Again, you got to go in the right direction, right? When it got to the national championships and the Ernie Davises and the Jim Browns, like it took a while to grow, right? You know, programs, they go up and down. And right now, we're right at the process of still trying to get back to going to a bowl game every year and winning 6 to 8 games like Pasqualoni was. So, I mean, again, that's a be careful what you wish for type situation because Pasqualoni did so well for so long, but he did so good that the expectations got so high that, you know, 6-6, 7-5, it wasn't good enough and he got ran out. And then we got the worst guy who basically imploded our whole program. Like, we might as well got the death penalty like SMU. Yeah, now we're trying to make our way up, which is what I don't really understand a lot of times by fans, because I can understand if you have a coach that it creates expectations and they're winning 9, 10, 11 games and being nationally relevant. Okay, so then you start only winning 6, 7 games and going to the Tony the Tiger Bowl, you know, then, yeah, I mean, I can understand fans being upset. But now we're trying to right the wrong and get back to just being a bowl team every year. And it's like our fans' expectations are still like we should be, like Donovan McNabb days, you know, Marvin Grave days. It's just we're not there.
I'm with you to a certain extent. You know how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
I am somewhere in between what you say and what the fans say. And I think that it's realistic. I feel like my expectations are realistic, and that would be to not struggle like this, to pull off upsets, to be competitive. And when we talked, you know, last week, you're like, well, fans just wanted them to be competitive, and they were competitive against Boston College. I don't want to be competitive against Boston College, a Boston College team like that. I want to whoop that Boston College's team's ass. I want to be competitive against the Virginia Tech. I want to be competitive against UNC and maybe another big name. You know, there's so much good football in the ACC right now. It's just, it's difficult. It's a difficult league to play in. It's an extremely good team. Did you see what Duke did with a third string quarterback last night in Chapel Hill? And I know they're rivals, okay, but this, I mean, what was it, 47 to 45 or something like that? I mean, that's competitive. With the third string quarterback, I mean, that is just that. That's kind of what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, you go in with the expectations with a third string quarterback, and you're probably, and I don't know if that's a third string or if they just decided to make a change at second string, but it's not. Is that what it was? Either way, I just feel like that. Like, I want to be that. I want that. I want that to be the norm. And when you are, when you play like that, the wins will come. I don't want to go, I don't want everything to be chalk and then lose against a Boston College. You know, it's difficult. And, you know, that's just where I'm at. That's just where I'm at. I mean, look, there's plenty to build off of. I feel like Babers has had a lot of time to build off of what he's had. And which is why it was been mind-boggling, some of it. But this team's hampered with injuries every year. And we seem to be living freaking Groundhog Day with it. And it's just tiring.
Yeah.
And I think the last five games just put people like me and a lot of other fans just in a place where you're just like winning that game. Like, I wasn't super excited about winning that game. I'm like, well, it's awesome. It was fun to watch. I totally, like, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great, you know, but I wasn't like super excited about being beaten 2-7 Pitt. Although I was happy. I mean, it's like my expectations, like we should have been able to beat them.
Yeah, we should have, you're right. But I guess my whole thing is that I try not to take everything game by game, right? Because you can look at it at the end of the day, 45-47, okay, they're still a loss.
Yeah, I know, but they almost won that game, though.
Okay, but they didn't, right?
I know.
At the end of the year, they're just going to have a record. And there's going to be, did they go to a bowl game or did they not go to a bowl game, right? So just like the same thing with college basketball. We can't sit here and overanalyze every single game. Like, at the end of the day, the bar is make the NCAA tournament. If you don't make the NCAA tournament, then you can go back and you can start looking at certain things, right?
That's apples and oranges to me.
Why is that apple?
Because you don't just get to hit 500 in basketball and get to do something special.
Well, yeah, but they play way more games, right?
But so what? I'm just saying, like, that's different. I would separate those because there's two different sports and they're handled
totally
different.
A lot of times they go 500 in conference. So would you rather Syracuse play four or five?
I am with you 100%.
D1 AA teams, and then
I'm with you 100% on basketball. The goal is to get to the tournament. No matter how you get there, no matter how ugly your wins are, or how ugly your wins are, or how bad your losses are, the whole goal is to get there. And I'm there with you on that. Football is different for me. It's different.
Okay.
I feel like I watch football differently. There's just certain things that set it apart. Like, to just be a 6-6 team and go to bowl games isn't exactly like what I want to do every year. I'm fine with it. At the end of the day, Joe, I'm fine with it. But if I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to sit here and lie about it, I'm not extremely happy or excited about it. Like you said, you want to go to the Tony the Tiger Bowl? You want to go to the whatever bowl? You know?
Yeah, but what's the difference between that bowl and some other bowl? I mean, like, you bring
up
Duke,
right?
Well, I
know. Right? Well, exactly.
Duke's had a great story, right? But look, they have had injuries. And now, look, they're 6-4. They're one game behind us. So you can look and say, oh, look at Syracuse's season. Well, guess what?
They're one game ahead of us.
Losing, Huh?
They're one game ahead of us.
That's what I'm saying. So what happens if we end up both being 6-6 or both being 7-5? Now, you can easily look at the Duke season and be like, wow, they were way more competitive and they were this, this, and that. At the end of the day, we just finished the same damn record. And we're going to a similar, very similar bowl.
Well, I mean that's you could look at numbers at the end of the season and we can have that argument, but
like if you're not a ranked team and you're not going
Dude, we got walloped four games in a row.
So?
I mean, perception's reality, bro. Yeah, it is.
I mean,
dude.
I get it that basketball it and football I get it that basketball and football are different, right? I get that. But there's only so much.
Would you rather just watch a game where you get your ass handed to you constantly throughout the whole game, or watch a game where you're like standing up and you're having a cardiac cuse moment where you're like, man, they might freaking pull this off, but they lose? What's worse? I mean, a loss is a loss. You're right. But don't you want to be competitive so you're not laughed at? I mean, look, dude, I've been a Raiders fan since I was 10 years old. I know this game. Okay.
I understand that, but I also know that at the end of the day, like I said, basketball, first off, there's way more teams included at the end of the season where it's all of a sudden all bets are off. You don't need to worry about it, right? There is no ACC tournament where you can go win your ticket to the dance, in which now it's everybody's
almost
0-0 and you almost get a chance, right? So what I'm saying is you could get your ass kicked all year. And that could be perception. But if you go to your conference tournament and win and get in the tournament, I mean, that year that UConn won with Kemba Walker,
they
weren't even supposed to be there. So I'm sure UConn fans are like, oh, we suck. Well, guess what? Then they went to the damn tournament, won their tournament, then got the NCAA tournament and won that thing. So, I mean, but with football, people don't fine-tooth comb that shit. It's one game, and then people forget about it. You get to the end of the year, you just see, oh, they're 6-6. Oh, they're going to a bowl game. They don't start looking into their what's their strength of schedule? Who'd they play? Who'd they get their ass kicked? I mean, as a fan, I get it because you watched it, so you feel some sort of way, right? But other people, like the outside people, they don't care like that. They'll look at it and be like, oh,
damn,
they're
talking about a bowl. I don't give a shit about the outside people.
Isn't that what you said?
What do you mean? I'm talking about me as a fan watching the game. I want to be competitive against teams that you.
Oh yeah, me too. Okay. But you said something about being embarrassed about, or you know.
Well,
this,
look,
this,
there's a way to win respectfully, and then there's a way to lose embarrassingly.
Yeah. Okay. I just always look at football as different because basketball is not that far. I mean, you watch the talent gap between some of these teams when we play in non-conference, and yet we're still only winning by 10, 11, 12. Like it's kind of a close type game, but we have way more talented players than that. In football, if you have a couple guys out, you could easily get blown out.
I agree. I don't disagree with any of that. But you're not proving my point, but you're speaking to kind of what I'm talking about. Like it's just different. To compare basketball to football as far as expectations and things like that, like on a end of the year discussion, then I think we're both on the same page with basketball. I mean,
right.
You know, yes, you can. Yeah. Okay. You don't have the opportunity as a go. You don't have an opportunity as a football squad to perform some kind of way in a tournament to make some kind of big tournament. Like, no, that's not how it goes. Right. It's just, unfortunately, it's not how it works.
So it's a bowl game is the postseason.
I totally understand that. I'm fine with that. It's not my point. My point is about bringing up Duke. And then I'll let you say your piece and we can move on. But my point is that for Duke to go in there and play the way they played is impressive to me. Because they could be getting their asses handed to them too every week, because Riley Leonard was that team, and Riley Leonard is a freaking stud in my opinion, and they've been without him, and they are still competitive every game, and you can lose respectively like that, and be like, man, that was a good freaking game. I'm talking about fan perspective. Man, that was a good game. That was a freaking good game. Almost had it. Or you can go in into Virginia Tech on a Thursday night and just get totally obliterated and turn it off at halftime and go to bed. Because that's what
I understand.
Okay. That's my only point. It's a selfish, prideful, which is not great, a selfish, prideful thing for me as a sports fan. Okay? I've, you know, like I said, I've been a Raiders fan for almost 35 years. Okay? I know what it's like to lose and be embarrassed. And the one thing I always hung my hat on through all of that was Syracuse football and Syracuse basketball, because we always had it. We always had something to show. And it's, we don't necessarily. The past few years have been tough. And so for me, this year, I hit a breaking point. That Virginia Tech game for me was a breaking point where I was like, you know what? I need to see something. And the game against Pitt didn't show me anything, but I feel like it was brilliant. And these kids executed that like extremely well. The attitudes that they had, the way, the looks on their faces, the way they played, the way you'd mentioned Garrett Schrader going and helping Dan Villari up, and just that was a team effort, man. And I thought it was amazing. But they should have won it anyway. And I'll say that it's easier said than done, too, in the situation that they were in going into that game. So all the credit to the coaches, all the credit to the kids for that win. And I think they can do it two more times. I'm not sure if they will. If I had to bet my next paycheck on it, I'd say we're going to a bowl game. Because it's one of those things, and I mentioned it earlier, you know what's coming, but can you stop it? The offensive line played tremendous. As far as I could see, I don't think there was any wounded soldiers, okay? I feel like, in my heart of hearts, I feel like we can go into the next couple games or in the next game relatively healthy and try to execute the same game plan and see what happens, but definitely against Wake Forest at the end of the year, by the way, which will be senior night at the Dome. I feel like that's going to be their time to shine at home, and if they got to execute the same way they executed against Pitt, and so be it. It was fun to watch. It's just not it's just, you know what you're getting. When you become one-dimensional, you're just daring the other team to stop you.
Yeah.
And Pitt's defense ain't that bad, Joe. Like, I know they've had some injuries and things, but their defense ain't that bad.
No. Yeah. That's normally, that was their, like, strength coming into this year. So, and I get it. I think, I just going back and just finishing hitting this up, is that I get it. But with me, like, I kind of come into it, like when we did our preview, right? And I guessed 6-6, and we spoke about, I remember even then talking about getting 6-6, they were probably going to have to win. Now, we didn't know how Wake Forest and Pittsburgh and some of these other teams were going to be, right? But they were probably going to have to win a game that we didn't think that they were going to be able to win, or that they'd have to upset somebody. Mm-hmm. But, right. You know, I go into the season and look, I said 6-6. I said, I think we both said, if he makes a bowl game, he keeps his job.
I stick by that.
And that wasn't concurrent on where they get those 6 wins, those 6 losses. It doesn't matter how they get them. Doesn't matter where they come from. It's 6-6. And so, I mean, then again, this is just, I mean, we can go back and forth. This is a personal thing, right? You look at it one way, I look at it another. Now, yeah, would I want them to be close, to have a chance? Do I want them to win every game? Of course I do. And of course it pains me to sit there and watch them get their butts kicked. But at the end of the day, I mean, I've played in those type of games. And I'm just looking at it from a player perspective of that. I've played in games that were triple overtime, 52, 50, you know, 50, and both teams are state ranked. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, and then I've also played in games where I've gotten my butt kicked. And I'm going to let you know that, like, you don't just, like, you don't leave that one game where you lost by 2 in triple overtime and you're like, oh, man. but that was a great game. I don't know if I'd have rather played in it or watched it or, you know, man, I'm just, a loss is a loss.
I mean, I've been there too, and it's a lot better to lose by two than just get your ass handed to you.
Yeah, see, to me, it's been a loss is a loss, because sometimes the other team's just that much better than you. So when you, like, from a competitor standpoint, I've lost close games where I'm like, man, we had that game. We're better than that team. And that hurts more than lining up against a team you know is better than you that kicks your ass. It hurts more to lose a game that you know that you could win versus getting your butt kicked against a top 25 team. And at the end of the day, it is all a loss. So that's just my perspective.
I understand. You're talking from a player's perspective, too.
But that's carried over into my fan perspective. Okay. Because at the end of the day, I'm not looking at individual game performances or how they get there. You know, I stated in the beginning of the year, I think they're going to win six games.
So going 6-6 and getting a bowl game every year, you're fine with that?
No, I didn't say every year.
I'm just saying. I'm asking you, though.
No, not every year. Of course, well, your expectations go up.
Okay, so how many years does it take for you to say, okay, well, I'm sick of the 6-6 bowl
game? I think that once it becomes a consistent thing, then that's when the expectations start to go up, right? I'd like to start by going to two bowl games in a row. Because the last 20 years, we've gone one every 4 years.
What Syracuse has built over the past 8 years now, or is it 7 or 8?
Is better than what it was the previous 12.
Okay.
Not every season has been... But overall, it's
that's a long time to be building, and you've already cycled through a class. So, I'm just saying.
COVID and the NIL and the transfer.
Everybody cycled through a class during COVID, though. Everybody did. Everybody.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but those things hurt separate. Like that type of stuff, that only helps better teams when you can transfer without having to wait a year, when you can pay players. Where you can get extra years for COVID and all this crap, like that only helps better team. I mean, it helps everybody, but if it's helping it better teams get
the
better.
NIL helps teams with money, period. We know that.
Right.
And those teams aren't necessarily better, but there's certain teams that are just loaded and they're able to build.
This is a
and
situation where the rich get richer, though. And people like SU that are trying to catch up, that are still building facilities.
Oh, that's some of that's their own fault. Some of that's SU's fault, and they got no one to blame but themselves.
Okay, I get that. But at the same time, as a fan, don't you have to understand that, or are we just going to sit here and be bitter
we
and understand that we got to start as...
No, well, I mean, yeah, there's a bowl, yes.
Or we just pick,
you
team,
can
let's just pick a new team. Screw it. Let's just pick a new team.
Who's...
I can't deal with this. I need instant gratification.
So that is instant gratification. Here we are in the eighth year of this, and I'm not, that's the last thing I'm talking about is instant gratification. I'm just saying that
we got people out here bitching about a win last night.
Well, I didn't see any of that. First of all, I didn't see anybody bitching about a win. I mean, there was some snide remarks about, oh, it's just Pitt, but isn't that expected? I mean, it's expected. Now, if you're the type of fan who was sitting there actively rooting against Syracuse to prove a point because you want a coach gone, that's different. But I didn't see any of that. Now, did it happen? If I had to put money on it, I'd guess yes, that was probably happening. But I didn't see it, and therefore I don't have any ammunition to even bother having that discussion. So, of course, look, take it from a guy that, I've rooted against the Raiders. I keep coming back to the Raiders because this is my other lifelong team. I've rooted against the Raiders like as recent as this year.
I know.
Okay, and I have no shame in it. But I'm not from Oakland. I became a Raiders fan because of a player. You know what I'm saying? It's different for me. It's just different for me to see people root against their home team. It would be that's those people you need to ignore. And I don't even know if it was going on. I'm not even sure I would even humor it. Like, I don't even know if I would address it, but I didn't see any of that. I know for me, my expectations, it's not even expectations. I guess it's not, it's really not an expectation because I don't have the expectation of it. I just want it to happen and I'm sick of it. Not does that change anything? Because that's where I'm at. I just want us to be different. I want us to be relevant. I want us to be a threat. I want us to be intimidating.
I get it.
Okay? It's not about my expectations. It's about really and truly what I want. What I want this team to be. I don't expect a college football playoff, four teams playoff. That's unrealistic. So bowl games are fine with me. How you get there at the end of the day doesn't really matter, but I do want it to be relative. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go. Last year's bowl game was kind of dumb.
Boring. Yeah, I get it.
You know, there was players not playing, and there's on both sides of the ball, and it's good and everything. But at the end of the day, that's like an exhibition. You know what I'm saying? When you're playing your second and thirds.
I mean, it's important for the team.
It is important
for the next
but
season,
it's
for the
not,
university.
It's not something
experience for the kids.
You're not throwing a party and, you know, cooking chili and
what?
Nachos.
You're not doing that for the Sunkist Bowl?
I'm just saying.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl?
The Duke's Mayo Bowl. Now, listen. Hold on a second. Duke's Mayo is the only way to go with mayo, by the way. I'm just gonna throw that out there. The Duke's Mayo Bowl should be higher on the list. I really think so.
It's in Charlotte.
It comes from Richmond, Virginia. So.
No, I'm saying the bowl game.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm just saying that the company is based out of Richmond. Anyway.
Yeah.
I digress. Again, we took a turn. We didn't get through any. We didn't get through much of any fan feedback.
I do got one. Andy's got to call me.
And there's a bunch here, guys, and I'm sorry. I'll do a couple quick ones that I won't comment on, but go ahead.
So Andy Stewart, guy that went to Virginia Tech, Florida State,
everywhere.
Glad the coaches could form a game plan for a win against the worst team in the ACC. With two games left, only one of them winnable, we could see a bowl game. Even with that happening, there's no chance that Dino keeps his job. The lack of talent on offense is absolutely ridiculous. There's better offensive players in the AAC, Sun Belt, Conference USA than what we have. Poor recruiting. The guys we get usually end up off the team or playing the bench, not to mention penalties. How can you coach a team for 8 years and still be one of the most penalized teams? Let me guess, blame the AD and others. Enough is enough. By the way, does Joe still think Garrett is ahead of Eric Dungy?
I won't answer it for you, but
damn,
for me,
that sounded like Andy. Come on, man.
Andy's usually a little bit more upbeat than that.
First I know.
So he's had enough, and Andy's a very
But
Andy's a very level-headed fan, though, and that's kind of what I've been trying to get you to understand a little bit, is that I do think it's a rational thought process to be in that space. It's okay. I feel like it's totally justifiable.
Yeah.
And for me, it's hard to, like, that comment coming from that guy, put it all into perspective. You can't argue. I can't argue with that guy.
No, I mean, like I said, everyone's allowed their own perspective, right? I'm not going to sit here and fight for my perspective like that's the way that everybody should think. It's just I'm along the lines of if you're going to blow it up, then blow it all the way up. You know, I mean, that's really what it is.
I'm down with that.
I don't think it's even fair to hire a coach, to fire this coach with. I mean, again, I like the culture. I think that I like the type of players he comes in. I mean, the players play for him. I don't like the fact that he's had to over and over again, you know, replace his assistants because we can't keep them, right? So, yeah, I mean, I just don't think that unless people above him are taken care of so that we can actually put in and invest the time and money needed to this football team, then I don't see it changing.
What do you think? Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So that's really where I'm at with it, is that if you want to get rid of Dino, I just don't think anything's going to change. You know, I think
if you get rid of Dino, I think it gets worse, because I'm not sure totally sold on the fact that Dino's the heart of this problem. And that part of this problem, I mean, the evolution of this football team, or, you know, however you want to put it. Jeff is in the spaces. He says a 40-point losses on national TV hurt recruiting more than 2-point losses. I mean, if you are, that's a good point, and that's not a point that I made, but that's to my, yep. You know, I mean, obviously, it looks a lot better to be in a game than it is to just get your ass handed to you 4 games in a row. It's not the games they've lost; it's how they lost. Can't view this all in a vacuum.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not down for. My thing is that I kind of. What's up?
One more, because it's all from the same guy. It's all from Jeff. Dino hurts teams' chances to win with his play calling and in-game decision making. You can't build out a program with a QB room of 4 guys who can't throw basic intermediate passes. Now, I think that there's legitimate criticism for some of the play calling and some of the in-game decisions, but the creativity that they pulled out in a week, I think that's why that's so brilliant. Because so you know if these coaches get together and they can pull out that type of creativity with these guys, you know it's there. So like it's like why haven't that and to my point like earlier before we went live, why haven't we been doing something like this? Did something just click where they just got so desperate they're like, you know what? F it. Let's take Dan Vellari. I got an idea. Let's take Dan Vellari and use him in a wildcat. And we'll use LeQuint in a wildcat. And it's not really a wildcat, but we'll do the same thing with Garrett. So it's yeah, like we'll a, it's like an there, RPO but... without the P. It's an RO. But mostly keep. Because a few times they tried to maybe fake it or try to hand it off, and we lost the ball. But it seems like such a simple, basic thing. And I think maybe some of what Dan went through in the spring contributes to some of that where the coaches haven't seen his abilities all the way through and they moved him from quarterback to tight end. And now it's just like, we just go to try this and then something clicks in practice or something. I mean, I don't know how it went, but then you're like, man, like shit, we should have thought of this like a long time ago.
Right. Because you know, Narduzzi gets on there and talks about they literally did not game plan for any of this because obviously it was completely different offense, right? So I mean they pulled out all the damn stops, and I don't know if this works regularly every week. You know, give a team time to look at the tape, then I think that could be, you know, taken care of. But to change things up, maybe give somebody's arm another week to heal up and do something different, then it worked. Who knows? Maybe next year, maybe next week they break out something a little bit different, or they have
maybe Dan passes things. More.
That's what I'm saying. They have different things off of this, right? So, you know, to that point too, I mean, that's Syracuse real historically. Syracuse really isn't the pocket passing type team, right? I mean, a lot of times we're.
No, you're right. It's athletic. It's been a lot of athletic quarterbacks that.
I mean, when you look at it, I mean, Don McPherson, athletic.
Marvin Graves.
Right.
Donovan McNabb. I mean, we've had him.
Yeah. But yeah, then there was other ones after that. You know, Dungy. Really, when you look at the history of it, though, I mean,
Go ahead.
Who are the two of the two quarterbacks that have been drafted in like the last, I don't know, 35 years of Syracuse football?
Tommy DeVito.
Stop it. Stop it. He went to Illinois. So
it doesn't matter. No. Is that one year of Illinois really worth all that?
I don't know. But I was going to say Donovan McNabb and Ryan Nassib. Ryan Nassib was probably the only pocket passer that didn't really have an athleticism that.
Yeah, he was frustrating. He was so frustrating to watch. Yeah.
Oh, super frustrated. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's the type of quarterbacks that we bring in, you know. And I'm telling you, like, if McNabb or Marvin Graves gets hurt for 5 games in one of their seasons, then those seasons would have looked similar too. So again, I'm not going to try to sit here and micro just, you know, on the just look at everything through a microscope and be and get myself so upset, especially based upon expectations. It's not about me not wanting my team to be a certain place, because I would love for them to be nationally relevant. It would be awesome for them to be ranked and have those type of opportunities. You know, it was the year that Dungy, you know, was there and they went 10-3. But I mean, you got to start out with realistic expectations and knowing what the program is actually investing in and what they're doing compared to what other programs are doing. I mean, that's why you're seeing Duke being doing what they're doing, because they're starting to invest in that type of stuff as well, because they don't want to be left behind, like we said.
Duke's a school with money.
I'm trying to keep myself with realistic expectations so that I don't get so upset, because at the end of the day, I mean, what is fun about watching football if you're just going to sit here and be upset because they didn't live up to your expectations every single week? I don't know. Because you're going to sit here and you're not going to be happy until they're nationally relevant and winning 10 games a year, 9-10 games a year, then you're going to be pretty upset for a long, long time.
I don't think that's I don't think anybody who's thinking like that, as far as a fan goes, it's unrealistic. It's unrealistic. I mean,
and when it comes to recruiting too, I mean, honestly, there's different things that come with recruiting. Obviously, there's regional stuff that people want to stay home. You know, sometimes it's easier for teams.
Some
like
people don't
want to
be in the freezing ass cold.
Yeah, some of them don't want to do that, right? But then also, if you're nationally relevant, then what is your chances of coming in and getting playing time as a true freshman or a redshirt freshman? So there's playing time. And then obviously the number one is NIL money. So everything's changed as far as that's concerned. I'm not going to buy the get your butts kicked by 40 and you're going to – I mean, the type of recruits that are looking at that type of stuff are the guys that are going to get money no matter what. They're going to play no matter what. And those guys are most likely going to the ACC and the top teams anyway. So the guys that we're recruiting, as long as we're willing to pay them and offer them playing time early, then I don't think losing like that is kills us as much as it used to. Sorry. Just.
I mean, yeah, the money's got to be there, though. So, and it's not, apparently.
Well, exactly.
So, and that's there's the, that problem, too. So, I understand so that. What? I can.
So we lose close, and then players are like, oh, I want to go play there. Sorry, like we can't pay you. So they end up going somewhere else anyway.
Like I told you, that's a me thing. Mm-hmm. That's a me thing as a fan. And that's why I understand it. Because regardless of whether or not that the chirping about that's coming from a fan who, like maybe Jeff, who has that opinion, or if it's someone like me who has an opinion for two different reasons, that doesn't matter. Because that's right. Just, you know, I think everybody's got their own way of dealing with all that stuff internally.
Coping, yeah.
And right, yeah. And, you know, I think for me, it was just the lid blew off at one point. And, you know, you want to see better. You know, I didn't grow up with this like this. And, you know, it's just frustrating because when you know how things can be and you have a really good freaking feeling why they're not, and it comes down to how the SU is running their programs. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's trying to equally deal with all of these other
sports. We don't even know if there's politics involved.
Right.
If there's
or what's going
money
on.
Money or corruption involved. We don't know.
You have no idea. But obviously something's off because
something's off.
I mean, plain and simple. Yeah. And we'll probably never get an answer. But yeah. But look, the good news is we can all join the collective and do our own part. And you can pull your money at any time. And my best advice would be to sign up for a couple years, lump sum, and see what happens. So,
right.
I mean, at least then you can say, hey, look, you know, there's got to be some transparency here with the NIL money if you're donating, right? There must be. There has to be. If you're donating to somewhere, you should be able to have some transparency to it. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Are you going to answer him?
Answer who?
He said, does Joe still think Garrett is ahead of Eric Dungy?
Oh, I mean, Look, if Garrett Schrader doesn't get hurt, I feel like Garrett Schrader, if you want my honest opinion, me, I feel like Garrett Schrader is a better, more talented guy than Eric Dungy. Eric Dungy had a ton of heart, but Garrett Schrader, I think, is a better passer, and he's got the heart too. And I feel like just when it comes down to the passing, and I know we haven't seen it, and you guys can bag on me all you want, but the dude's been injured. Garrett Schrader doesn't have this injury. These conversations we've had the past 5-6 weeks now, I don't think are happening. I just don't. And we'll never know. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like Garrett Schrader, as far as if I had to choose between a healthy Dungy or a healthy Schrader, I would take a healthy Schrader. That's how I feel.
That's how I feel, too. And again, I think it's just going to be – you're never going to be able to get a fair, accurate opinion.
No, exactly.
Obviously, I mean, and Dungy, people remember, he did deal with injuries, too. But he was a warrior as well. And, I mean, like, I hate even having to pick in between them. And Dungy, he was a starter for 4 years. Garrett only had three and three quarters because, you know, he had to beat out Tommy.
I got three quarterbacks hanging up on my wall up here behind me. Signed photos. And okay. I've got Donovan McNabb, Eric Dungy, and Garrett Schrader.
There you go.
So I mean, those are the ones that have been impressive throughout my life as a Syracuse fan. And I mean, Marvin Graves was obviously amazing, but those are the guys that I felt like really, really through and through were Syracuse. And And just so happens that we've had two of them back to back, almost back to back, pretty damn close.
Yeah. Now I think Dungy. I think that he had better offensive lines. I think he had better receivers, and that's probably why his passing yards were a little bit better. Plus, he didn't have if he did have injuries, his injuries weren't to his throwing arms to where he couldn't throw and stuff like that.
They were lower body injuries.
And he was just, I mean, and I don't see, he was fast and he was athletic, but I don't think he was, I mean, I think Garrett brings a different type of athleticism with his sneakiness and how he can slip and, you know, kind of juke people and stuff. But sadly, I just feel like we didn't get to see full potential Schrader through a whole season at all because of this nagging injury with his throwing arm. So, you know, Eric Dungy is going to lead in stats and it's not going to seem as though, but again, I think they're damn close, and I hate even having. I'll take both of them into battle. Don't matter.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, they're tremendous, and they had huge impacts, especially Dungy, on the fan base. I mean, the fans absolutely love Eric Dungy, and rightfully so. All right, that is going to do it. Finally,
Colgate tomorrow.
Colgate tomorrow, yes. The preview is this.
They lost Tucker Richardson. They have 4 to 5 starters back. Still a tough team, but we should be good.
Let's effing win. Go Orange. For Joe, Sean, we're out.
Peace.
Back Wednesday. God willing.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture, and they're celebrating the 4th of July with up to 60% off, plus an extra 20% off select styles. Bring vacation vibes home with breezy outdoor seating, or enjoy leisurely lunches at clean line dining tables, all on sale at All Modern, and then get it delivered for free in days. You heard that right, days. That's Modern made simple. Shop up to 60% off, plus an extra 20% off select styles June 28th through July 7th during All Modern's 4th of July sale at allmodern.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle, follow your Crave.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.